This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Oh, she almost got it right. Well done.
Welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes. I'm Shemaine Harris. As always, lovely to be with you. Hope you're going to enjoy today's show. Palisa Mabuya is on. Oh, you're looking up at me today, aren't you? He's on controls, as per usual. How's it, Blompot?
Hello.
Awesome. Lee, take it away, Papa.
Well, hello. I'm Liesl Tom, and as always, when Shemaine and I are in the studio and those Tibetan singing bowls begin to sing,
to chime.
I just go to a whole different space. Shemaine. Today in studio with us, and it's not often that we have a man in studio, so we have Emmanuel Peterson, who is, listen to this, a motivational speaker, an anti-bullying campaigner, an actor, a performer, I'm kind of tempted to say a jack of all trades and master of none, but I would rather, no, there's a new trend when it comes to careers, and people like Emmanuel are called portfolio careerists because they have so many different careers that they can just roll open. And Emmanuel has a very interesting concept. I have no idea what this means, so I'm going to read it and then we'll let him explain.
Before you go there, can I just say, I think this is the first time that we had a Mr. Something here. Imagine somebody.
Yes, that's one of the things in the portfolios. What's your title?
I'm South African Bachelor of the Year, but only for another, 4 days, 5 days? We worked it out earlier.
So if you're a bachelor, does that mean Shemaine and I can take you on a date?
Always.
No, I think it just means he's not married. Or what? Am I wrong?
No, well, it wasn't actually a pageant. It was a competition where you involved, well, number one, you've got to be in the public eye, and you're involved with numerous charity events and your own community project. Mm-hmm. And I competed last year and won. So it's not a dating thing at all.
So what was it all about? I mean, what do you need to, what do you need to do to get the title?
Well, you know what? You've got to be eligible. So number one, there's a couple of rules. You're not allowed to be married. You're not allowed to be engaged. You are allowed to be in a relationship, but I wasn't. I think I was the only finalist that wasn't, in fact, in a relationship. And then you've got different challenges. So every month you've got challenges. We worked with the Cancer Association of South Africa to raise funds and awareness for them. And then we started the Talk Initiative, which was basically working with community kids and making a difference. And for the past 4 or 5 years, I've been involved in anti-bullying campaigns at different schools.
So you
from
used
KZN.
That as one of your platforms
I did. So it was a perfect fit for me. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I won.
I love this anti-bullying thing. I think you won only because you were the only single person there.
My sparkling personality.
The others were busy. You know how busy relationships can get. So
you might actually have a point there.
You never thought of that.
Never thought of it.
Well, child, ask
one
somebody.
1 year later.
Who lives mainly single. But I love the anti-bullying thing. An incredible thing to be involved in. I think, you know, all of us, well, if not all of us, I think most of us have had experiences of being bullied and how it makes you feel and how, you know, it kind of paralyzes you. So, and if people are standing up to that now, I mean, adults, we bully one another. We always think it's
that
just
is a
kids,
major
hey?
Issue. Absolutely.
Bullies in the workplace.
In the workplace, in relationships. I mean, how many relationships are you in where as partners, you constantly bully each other? You're trying to get your point across, and what happens is, because the other one's not listening, you start bullying each other. You want to get your point across, and they start bullying back, and it's not a very good place to be.
Yeah.
For me, bullying is making another person feel less than.
Mm. That's exactly it.
And it's all on this ego level, and that's, of course, not what Beyond Ears and Eyes is about. Absolutely. We are about higher things and about spirit.
Okay. I don't know. Look, I'm just mere mortal here. I'm just sitting here minding my own business trying to learn stuff.
Yeah, right. Shemaine, and if you believe that, I have a bridge I would like to sell you, because Shemaine is anything but sitting here just looking pretty.
I'm going to be with Liesl on this one.
Oh, the battle continues. Aluta, continua.
So, Emmanuel, this concept that we are here to talk about today also ties in, or you use it when you present your anti-bullying talks. Am I right?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I don't just stand for anti-bullying. I've, for probably the past 5-6 years as well, I've been doing motivational speaking, where I go to different ladies' teas, or wherever they would have
ladies' teas.
Yeah, and sometimes even churches.
What about men's
gentlemen
teas?
Don't drink men, tea, apparently.
I don't know, men are a little bit less accessible. What's it?
Accessible.
They don't really want to listen to the spiritual side of things in general.
Openly, you mean? Openly.
Yeah, openly.
Because I've seen several men who are on point.
Absolutely.
When it comes to spiritual stuff and how they live their lives, you, one of them.
Absolutely.
But they just don't talk about it.
They just don't talk about it. So, and they wouldn't pay for a ticket to go to one of these mornings where they would have a motivational speaker. And basically what I do, like Liesl said, jack of all trades, master of none. I also have a marketing firm. So I do a lot of graphic designing and websites and stuff. And I was busy preparing for a motivational talk, and I was also at the same time working on a website where the client wanted a certain, you know, image to be created, and I didn't know what it was, so I did a bit of research, and it was called the parallax effect. And basically, if you go Google the definition, it says a displacement of images. Mm-hmm. Now, to give you an idea on the graphic design side, which we're not yet to talk about, if you take two similar images and put it right behind each other, and you put a bit of a translucent, you know,
filter
over it, and you make it move, then it gives you this 3D effect, almost like a ghost-like effect. And that's when I then came up with the concept of the parallax effect in human emotions. And I now use that with all my motivational talks. Mm-hmm. When I do the anti-bullying, obviously I don't call it that when I work with children, because they're going to look at you like, what the hell are you saying?
Yeah, I have to say, I heard the word parallax once, and that was in school. And if I'm a school child and someone comes to speak to me about more schoolwork, I'll switch off.
Absolutely. And that's why you don't even mention that word, but the concept stays the same. Now, the concept is basically how, and I like to always use Isaac Newton's science or whatever.
Physics,
that's the word, thank you. Where every action has an equal but opposite reaction. And if you go look at that simple concept and you take into consideration that everything on Earth and, well, in the universe is matter, is, you know, molecules, you can almost incorporate that in everything you do. So if you meet someone for the first time and they come across as standoffish, what would your normal reaction be? Either you're going to go out and you want to be their best friend and you're going to try and prove them wrong, or you have the exact same reaction towards them. And that's basically where this whole concept came from, is with whatever you do, you've got to look at how you do it and what, you know, energies you put out to the world. Mm-hmm. Because what you put out is what you're going to get back. And sometimes you're not going to get exactly the same back. You might get the negative back. And yeah.
So what set you on this journey, you know, where you go like, okay, I need to see what this is all about, you know?
Well, you know what, for me, what happened was I was a very successful businessman and I had a lot of money, a lot of friends.
Yeah. You were like Eric Clapton.
Yeah, basically, yeah, exactly, there we go.
You know, whose mama taught him that, you know, you better watch out who your friends are.
Exactly, uh-huh. And what happened was, due to the economy and a couple of bad decisions, I lost everything literally overnight, where I went from euro to zero in a question of 24 hours. where I lost the cars, I lost the houses, I lost the friends, because the funny thing is when you lose all these things, all the fake friends kind of go out the window as well. And I went through a very, very dark time.
Before we get to the dark place, what was your initial reaction, the shock thereof? Because you're saying 24 hours. I mean, mostly you can see it slipping away.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is I did see it slipping away. I did see the signs. But when you're at that level, you kind of convince yourself, no, everything's going to be fine. Okay. Until you have to, you know, face the consequences. You have to face the fact that your coffee is now cold. Now you've got to drink it because your microwave is not working, type of thing, you know? And that's what happened to me.
Was it a matter of you not wanting to face the facts? Were you was there a level of escaping when you looked at what was presented to you? Or were you just kind of like just trusting, you know?
You know what? I think because I was raised very poor, we didn't have money. So I had to work for everything that I had, and then losing it, you know, you kind of want to hold on. And a lot of times in relationships, it's the same thing. When people are in a relationship, they don't think they're going to meet someone else better. So, you know, they stay in an abusive relationship. For instance, a lot of abuse victims that I work with stay in those relationships for the simple reason that they don't think they can do better. They don't want to go through life alone. So you kind of hold on to this fake little world that you're living in.
You hold on to the fear.
Absolutely. And that's what I did.
But I mean, when it comes to abused women, there's also a whole pathology around it where the abuser takes away whatever little power they feel they have.
Absolutely.
So when you talk about your own journey, how, you know, did you have that sense that whatever little power you have is being siphoned off by someone else, the universe, whatever?
Exactly, what you just said. The fact of the matter is, you know, when you sit there and you start realizing, you don't have money in the bank anymore, and you don't have money to buy food, and you don't have money to pay your cars, and you know.
And you look at what everything costs.
Absolutely. You know, that's what happens. So,
and you get good at comparing the no-name brands.
Exactly.
To the ones that
and you start realizing, but the no-name brand milk tastes exactly the same as the Woolworths milk. You know, it probably comes from the same factory. But basically, what happened was I had to go through that to basically bring me into a very spiritual place, if I can put it like that. Because the thing is that I wasn't a very nice person. You know, I went from the person that my mother raised that was really a very nice, humble person to this really idiotic person who thought he owned the whole world. And I had to lose all that stuff, all the materialistic stuff, you know, to get back to the humble person that I was supposed to be.
The core.
Absolutely. And with that, you know, came a lot of spirituality as well. And that's when I started realizing, after going through the dark time in my life.
How long did it take?
Probably about a year and a half. Got to be honest.
That's good. I
was lucky.
Gaining ground. Eh?
Yeah, I was lucky. But, you know, the one thing that got me through was my spirituality. And number two, my immense, you know, power of positivity, because I am always the eternal optimist.
But nice people who are not nice are generally very negative.
Absolutely.
So now you're saying you had that an amazing ability to be positive, while also admitting to not.
Well, you know what? You kind of have to be very positive if you start realizing there's no money in the bank, but you're still living the high life. You know, then you have to be an optimist because you're gonna go out for dinner with your friends. You don't want to tell them that you can't go for dinner with them, so you go, and then you know, you kind of sit there and hope that someone's going to offer to pay, because that's what normally happens when you're a group of friends with a lot of money. Someone always offers to pay. Okay. So, yeah, I was always an eternal optimist. But, you know, as bad as it was when I was that person, when I lost everything, my optimism and my positive outlook on life really got me through. And that's how we got onto the whole parallax effect.
How did you learn you know, to be consistent in. Because you know what? There's that whole thing of you can be positive, but you've got to do something.
Absolutely.
You know, because we always think, oh, just be positive. Oh, just say the universe will supply.
The Arabs have a saying, trust in God, but tie the camels. You know, what did you do to tie the camels?
Well, I got myself off my ass, if I can say that. We're on internet. We're on Cliff Central, so I suppose I'll get away with it. Get off your ass and actually walk out the front door and go do something. Now, for me, it was to get involved in community projects. For me, it was a way to give back to the community, to charities, and that type of stuff. Because, you know, on a selfish level, I think it started by way of, I always believed in karma. What you give is what you get. And that's where the parallax effect came in for me, was because karma is so clear. If you're going to do something to someone, expect it to come back. So if you're going to be friendly with someone, most times you will get friendliness back. Mm-hmm. If you're gonna, you know, go out and murder someone, you're probably going to end up in jail. You know, that type of stuff. Karma is really not a nice thing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, cool. If I change my life and my outlook on life and I start giving back to the community. And
even while you have nothing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially when I had nothing. Uh-huh. Then maybe I will get something in return, which I did. You know, I didn't get money immediately, and I didn't get success immediately. I didn't get any of that, but I got stuff that was so much more.
Like what? A sense of self-worth.
Exactly. Thank you.
Nurture for the soul.
A sense of belonging, because the thing is, you lose who you are. And when you lose who you are, you lose, you know, where you belong. And I mean, everyone needs to know where they belong. If they don't, then you kind of just fluff around in the universe, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the one thing that I got out of it was a sense of belonging.
And what about a sense of self?
Absolutely. So, yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, I mean, it's one thing to want to belong, but when you don't know who you are, it becomes a little wishy-washy, because you could go either way, or, you know.
Exactly. You know, it sounds a lot like I'm talking just me the whole time, but the fact that
we're asking you questions about how you did it.
I'm so used to talking to other people about them, you know. But for me, you know, I had to find myself again, and that is a very spiritual path that you have to take. It's a day by day process, and I've had a lot of help along the way, and you know. That's probably one of the other points that I bring to my motivational talks.
What is spiritual to you, though?
Spiritual to me is a sense of self in a much bigger picture, if I can put it like that. I mean, the universe, I'm not very religious. And which is quite funny, because I'm in a family that are very religious. I mean, I believe in a much bigger power, greater power. I don't believe for one second we are just here because we are. You know, someone made us, and we come from somewhere. What I just don't believe in is all the political and business stuff that comes with religion. It's become a business. And I think that most religions have forgotten what they stand for. And, you know, if you go look at most wars, I think most wars have either been started because of religion or power, or probably a woman somewhere along the line. I don't know.
Blame the woman. Can we just blame some guys as well?
Absolutely.
Because I tell you now, we are in dire straits, because, you know, because men starts
because
nonsense.
Men.
Absolutely.
And we need men, and there are less men than women at the moment.
Absolutely. Shemaine just hoid her book on the table.
This entire fall from grace, as if I can put it like that, it sounds to me like what some people describe as the dark night of the soul. Is that something that you can
absolutely
agree with? Does it resonate?
Do you know what? If I've got to compare to nightfall, you know, when you're stuck in a very, let's say you're stuck in the middle of Joburg, and you know it's not very pretty. It's old buildings and you know, broken windows and stuff. Now it becomes dark. You feel number one, scared. You feel empty. You feel lost.
If you don't know the roads, especially.
Absolutely. The reason why I'm comparing it to a city like Joburg and that analogy, because you can be in the bushveld and the sun sets and it's a beautiful sunset.
And it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. That's why, you know.
Oh, it depends on the person.
Also true.
I go like bulls. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, me too. Especially when it's full moon.
I know. People love the bush. And I take my hat off to you. But yeah, give me a sight of sea.
So basically, you know, that's what you feel like when you go through this. So that analogy would be 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alrighty. So now you say you do this with kids. How difficult is it to get this message across?
You know what? Kids in general is, because I do work with adults as well, but with kids, they're a little bit more acceptable to listening and to wanting to change. I think as soon as you reach adulthood, you're kind of used to one direction. You're kind of used to a certain...
Your defense is kind of solidified.
Absolutely. There we go. Thank you. And so sometimes with adults... you know, I've got a case at the moment where someone is going through a divorce, and she cannot make up her mind. But I mean, it's been going on for quite a while. Now, you can see from the outside, you can see what it does to her. Mm-hmm. You can see that she's not happy. You can see that she's you know, busy dying inside. But what can you do until she sees what's happening? Until you actually look in the mirror and see that your soul's dying, you know, how do you convince someone? Where with kids, for instance, the anti-bullying, I've had cases in the last 2 years where a bully and the kid being bullied have become best friends only because I opened their eyes to what they were doing, because the bully didn't realize that what he was doing was hurting the other kid. Now they're best friends. You know, and the same can be done in relationships, in personal relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's where it comes back to the parallax effect, where if you learn that everything is connected in the universe, whether it is, you know, your dog walking in and you being friendly with your dog and your dog is friendly back to you. I mean, it's something as small as that. The same can be with personal relationships. The same can be in business. If you have a positive outlook, and you give as much as you get, mm-hmm. good things start to happen. And that's what happened to me. And that's why I'm back on my feet.
Okay.
And would you say you are back on your feet, or are you still...
Still getting there.
No. But I mean, you started on this path of spiritual growth. Do you think, you know, do we ever arrive?
I love the fact that you actually mentioned that, because the fact of the matter is, I don't think you ever arrive. Like the universe, and I mean, this is a scientific fact, the universe is ever expanding. It's getting bigger by the second. And I think your spiritual growth and your personal growth and everything which is connected to that is just as ever expanding. And the moment you go sit down and you say, oh, okay, I've arrived, is the moment you fall back again. Because if you don't expand as fast as the universe, okay, that's maybe...
You can't expand
that fast. But you get what I'm saying. If you don't
grow,
you're going to start falling behind, if I can put it like that.
Look, I hear you. I'm not scientifically knowledgeable at all. So I'm not so sure about, you know, growth mind versus universe. But I do hear what you're saying in terms of growth for humans, as you know, and you can grow in any way. It just opens you up, you know.
Absolutely.
So growth is it's an uncomfortable but a necessary experience.
You know what? Here's a small tip for everyone listening today. If you go through a difficult time, and whether it be, you know, all of us wake up depressed every so often.
It's necessary.
I still do. As positive as I am, Sometimes I wake up and I'm
sorry,
negative.
You just have to pause there because okay. I just want to. I'm sure you're not talking about depression. I'm sure you're talking about feeling a bit low.
No, a little bit. Okay, you're not depressed. Yes, okay, yes. Depressed. Maybe that's you know, in the scientific term of depression.
Sorry.
Sometimes you wake up and you know, you feel a little bit down, or you feel a little bit, you know, I don't want to get out of bed,
or
you feel anxious or angry for no reason. I mean, this happens. Mm-hmm. A small tip that helped me and that has helped so many other people: get yourself a hobby. Okay, it doesn't have to be like getting in your car, going to stables and riding a horse like what I do. What you can do is
Now you're just showing off.
I am a little bit, yeah. But, you know, get yourself something to do, whether it is your favorite movie that you want to watch, even if you've seen it 110 times, watch it again. If you know what makes you feel good, use that. And sometimes it's difficult to get yourself out of bed to do that thing, but just by taking that little bit of energy and doing it, I promise you, within half an hour you'll feel better already.
Okay, but now I'm in jail, I committed some crime, and it's rough.
Ooh, parallax effect, there we go.
No, but it is rough, you know.
No, very rough.
It's just you can't get around it. What do I do when I am in a place where I just, you know, there's no way I can get out, got myself to deal with, and probably a lot of meanness going about? How do I find a space where I go, okay, this is what I can do? Do you go as a human being?
That's a very, very good question, and quite a tough one actually as well, because depending on which jail you are at, you get some jails where they've got libraries, they've got things to do, they've got a gym. I mean, something as small as you know, going and doing exercise will help you through it. A lot of people are too scared to spend time with themselves, and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to talk to themselves. When last did you go and just talk to yourself?
All the time.
Yeah. And how important?
It's my madness.
But
okay.
But you call it madness. I call it a way of living and a way of surviving. Because the fact of the matter is, if you, you know, have no one to talk to, maybe it's time that you start talking to yourself. Things happen in life for a reason. And whether you get placed into a situation where something bad happens, whether you make the wrong decision and you end up in jail, or, you know, people live with decisions every single day of their life. When you wake up in the morning, you have the choice. Am I going to get out of bed or am I going to stay in bed? Am I going to shower? Am I going to bath? Am I going to put shorts on or am I going to put jeans on?
But do I know? How do I realize that I have a choice?
By getting to know yourself. That to me is the most important thing. No one else will be able to tell you who you are and what your choices are except yourself.
Hmm. Well, when you talk about this, when you give tips like go for a run or get a hobby, it's kind of something we all know. You know, it's like a common sense approach. But the thing about common sense is it's not that common, you know?
I love that, yes.
Remember that we have options. And I just want to, before she asks you another question, I just have a comment for you. I heard recently.
I love your comments, by the way. Sorry for interrupting.
I heard recently that being mad, MAD, stands for making a difference. And in that case, my friend, yes, indeed, you are truly mad. Right, now you can go.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I know that, you know, that's we're being facetious here.
No,
now,
I'm not.
Aren't you?
No, you are making a difference.
No.
yes.
I actually don't know how to come back from that one, but I was just thinking, you know, the whole idea of madness, and because we've all seen people. So the first thing that happened to my mind was I actually went to people mentally whom I've seen are really battling with, you know, like that inner world, and it's tough to actually see them. And I'm wondering, you know, if the inability, this might be totally off, but I'm wondering if the inability to get to themselves could have been a part of why they went there.
I think a lot of times that's it. I could never understand why people are so afraid to get to to know themselves.
But we're not taught to get to know ourselves. We're taught to get to know everything else about the world,
and yet it's so important.
So that we can do everything else for everyone else.
Exactly. And there that we spending go. I love that. Time yes. on yourself is selfish.
Yes. And, you know, when you don't want to spend time with others, you being antisocial, instead of going into that space of, you know, maybe it's okay to give myself some time. Maybe it's okay to just to be.
Absolutely.
You know, to find out. So we get taught all these lessons about how to be proper, about how to be, you know, about how to function in a world that is unkind to most personality types.
Absolutely.
I find.
You know, I'm going to use an example here, and I hope he doesn't kill me. But a friend of mine went through a really dark place a couple of years ago where he lost his whole family in a question of a year and a half. I'm talking about his mom, his dad, his only brother, you know, and he was left alone in the world. And, you know, in general, they were a very close-knit family, the same as what my family is. And, you know, he bounced around from personal relation. I'm not talking about sexual relationships
romantic
and stuff like that. Romantic.
Yeah.
I'm talking about personal relationships with different friends and, you know, people that don't really care about him as a person. But he did that because he didn't want to spend time with himself. And when he got to know me, you know, here's Emmanuel saying, oh, no, but you need to get to know yourself before mm-hmm. you can get to know other people and before you can, you know, deal with the issues at hand. And in the past, I would say 9 months, the spiritual growth that he has had, and I mean, he's a very spiritual being to start off with.
We all are, though.
We are.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is the personal growth that I have seen, only because someone has told him, it's mm-hmm. now time to focus on yourself. Go through the emotions. Understand that some days are going to be harder than others, you know, but work through them, work through the challenges.
That's nice. You know, if somebody can give me an example of how to, because we can say, go through it, work through it, you know, but we never get examples of how to. We never get people don't tell us how long it's going to take, you know, which isn't. And if they tell us how long it's going to take, it's compared to someone else's. Maybe, you know, it's going to take a year and that person may have to take 7 years to get
absolutely.
It,
you know, can't. I mean? So, you can't even put a time limit to it because of.
So how do you help people with getting skilled in?
Well,
you
know what? Number one, every single person is different. You've got your own personality traits. You've got your own
background,
way of looking at things. Whether you're an optimist or a complete pessimist. I mean, in general, if you are a natural pessimist, to get a natural pessimist to see the good in anything is very difficult. So, you know, there's so many different layers that you have to work through before you can actually get to the point where you can say to them, okay, this is what you have to do.
You know, this I heard something about it was one of those, I don't know,
flyaway comments. Jinx.
That somehow got stuck in my genetics. And I loved it because it made sense to me. And they were like, you know, humans are actually by nature at the core pessimistic. Well, when I say pester, I'm looking for another word, but because my menopausal brain goes off sometimes, I can't get to some words.
Oh, I love being in studio with two ladies.
You know, but we program to look for fault. We program to because genetically, I mean, because that means we're looking after ourselves.
It's a survival instinct.
So I thought, well, you know, that actually helps when you go, because when everybody starts saying you need to be positive, and then you go like, I can't.
It's the end of the world.
So that for me opens it up. So that helps me look at both sides of my, you know, the darker side of mine and the lighter side, and I don't feel guilty, so I don't waste time on that. So I can just be, oh, okay, so it's there's a function for it, and now I know what to do with it.
Absolutely. You know what the one thing is I always find with different people as a motivational speaker and you know, somewhat a coach, because I work with different people and I coach them through things, and Liesl would know this, is that you need to go sit down and do an analysis of who this person is, what type of personality they are, whether they've got a lot of red personality, whether they've got a lot
Give
of
us
yellow,
examples.
Blue.
Give us
For
examples.
Instance, you know, I'm a very red personality. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm a natural born leader. I'm not very easy to coach in general. Mm-hmm. Okay. My life coach would maybe disagree sometimes, but she's very good. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got a lot of red in your personality,
shall we name drop? We can name drop.
and Liesl shakes her head vigorously.
Yeah, my life coach is Liesl Tom. Oh, yeah. And she's brilliant. But the fact of the matter is that if you've got a lot of red in your personality, mm-hmm. and none of the other colors, which is who I am, the fact of the matter is you're kind of very stubborn. In other words, you have, you think everything you do and everything you say and all the decisions you make are the right ones, and there's no left or right. And, you know, in that regards, when Liesl started working with me, I'm not talking for her, she kind of, first did an analysis to see what type of personality I am. And then she knew how to work with me. Hmm. And, you know, even life coaches need life coaches. You do.
So what other type of personalities are there, Liesl?
Well, there's...
You don't want to talk about it.
This show is about our guests.
So, no, just to get an idea.
Well, it's about us. You know, the fact of the matter is you get the I think it's the green personality, mm-hmm. that really they just go with the flow. It's like you tell them now, what restaurant do you want to go to? Ugh, okay, you decide. What are we going to do today? Ugh, you decide.
Okay.
What movie do you want to watch? Ugh, you decide. You know, now for a red personality, you know, it can go one or two ways. You can either be very excited about being with someone like this or coaching someone like this, because it's very easy for you just to tell them what to do and they will do it.
But that sounds very definite though. Don't we have parts?
Combination.
You can have a combination of all four different colors. You've got red, yellow, blue, and green. And I mean, I used to think if you've got equal amounts, which is impossible, but if you were to have equal amounts of each color in your personality, your life would be a lot easier, you know, because you would know when to be easygoing. You would know when to be a leader. You would know when to, but granted, when you are a specific personality type, you can learn. By knowing what personality type you are, you can learn, you know, to be a little bit more blue or be a little bit more green, be a little bit more creative, that type of stuff. Yeah.
I always find that personality types is an easy way to start to get to know ourselves. Because when Emmanuel was talking about knowing yourself, for me, that is the first step to knowing God. And, you know, I'm not the first person to say this. It's been said by far more illustrious people, including Deepak Chopra, whom I absolutely adore. But that's the step. Once you start exploring your inner world, you start to see this is where the ultimate creator is operating.
Absolutely. I'm going to agree with that. For me, when I was going through all that stuff, when I lost everything, and I had to, you know, make the decision, what am I going to do? And I mean, I was at a place where I was literally half an hour from committing suicide, and my family arrived there, and they were the ones that I didn't, you know. And as an eternal optimist, to get to that point, you can imagine how dark it was. And the fact of the matter is,
did you call them?
No, they just sensed it. I'm lucky where I've got a family. I'm the only boy, and three sisters and a mom, and all of them are very much intuitive. So we are very connected as a family. So if something happens, there's always someone that knows there's something going on, even without you saying it.
But before you carry on, I just want to explore that a bit. I mean, when you are at that point where you feel, okay, this is too much for me, I'm going to physically remove myself from this life, where are you?
Well, exactly, where are you? I mean, if I've got to look at my own personal experience, because that's the only real source that I can speak from, you know, I can't speak for other people, but where I was literally nowhere. I was lost. Like Shemaine said earlier, you know, when you feel lost, when you don't know who you are, you know, you don't know where you are. And that's where I was. I was lost. And the thing is, when you in this lonely space, you tend to think that you're a burden on everyone, and you know, you just no one wants to be with you, no one wants to be friends with you, no one wants to you know, you're just a burden for everyone.
That's what you think.
It's in fact not even remotely the case, because there's always someone that cares for you. You just need to open your eyes. And what happened with me, my parents and my sister knocked on the door, and that opened my eyes. So, you know, I'm lucky. I only went through that part where I wanted to commit suicide once in my life, and it lasted literally for half an hour.
Hmm.
Where I then realized, but whoa, how selfish is this? Because, yes, I'm now out of this equation, but what damage do I do to the people who actually love me?
Hmm. See, again, that whole thing of we think of others, you know.
Absolutely.
I applaud that, you know, but I'm also going like, so there are other people who just went like, fuck it. I know I'm going to hurt you, and I'm sorry I'm going to hurt you.
And they still do it.
But this is all about me, and I'm out. You know, so, but I understand that whole thing where you go, you know, what you could have, you in retrospect, you see how you could have hurt those that you love. You know, but at the same time, I'm not judging people who go like,
No. You know, one thing I would also never do is like what you say. Who are we to judge? You know, I'm never gonna sit and say what your decision was is wrong. You know, the same with people going through a divorce that decide for the 10th time to give their partner another chance, even though they get treated like absolute crap. The fact of the matter is that's their choices they make in life. And, you know, I'm the type of person, because I care so much for different people, you know, I tend to want to put myself into the equation, which is the wrong thing to do. You need to keep yourself out of their people. There's your life. Lisa, what do you call it?
Martha Beck always says, yes, there's three kinds of business. My business, your business, and God's business.
That's it.
And if it's not my business, I cannot be in it.
Absolutely.
And that is something that I think we all had to learn at some point.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, it's so easy when you care for a friend to want to dictate to them or to want to interfere. Mm-hmm. Because as an outsider, you think, I can see the bigger picture. You're not allowed to. It's their bloody life.
I want somebody to sometimes interfere.
But you know what? Then you have to ask. Then you have to ask. That's where people like myself and Liesl and you know, there's thousands of these type of people out there where you need to go out and literally ask for help.
You see, that is one way of doing it. But I think that people who are close to you, who know you, who can see, can also come around and say, listen, bookie, let's just take this into account.
Absolutely.
And then you can go, no, back off.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's so, and I mean, I speak of from experience. Sometimes that thing is so super sensitive and you are so ashamed of it. But, you know, if just somebody would come along to say something, you know, you are ready to open your mouth and get out of there. But you need, I think, you know, the interference is sometimes necessary.
No,
I do agree
with you to a certain extent. The big thing is, though, that you know, it's a wonderful thing called a catch-22 situation, mm-hmm. where you go as quite a strong person and you see someone is going through this and you want to interfere and you want to get involved and you want to help them through it. And sometimes the messenger gets shot type of thing. You know that whole saying. So
has it ever occurred to you that sometimes the messenger needs to get shot?
No, true. So, true.
Yeah, but if you are the messenger, you don't want to get shot.
You don't want to get shot. but I get what you're saying. And, you know, a lot of times, especially when it comes to the bullying, because when you go and you do an anti-bullying project at a school, for instance, you've got sometimes up to 1,000 kids in mm-hmm. one session. Mm-hmm. So now you sit there and you ask crucial questions and you ask critical questions and you try and get them to trust you enough to respond to your methods. Mm-hmm. Because number one, you will not be able to change anyone's life if they don't trust you enough to allow you to.
But also, looking at that bullying thing that you are saying, those people all know in that room who gets bullied.
Absolutely.
And none of them want to interfere. Because why?
They don't want to get bullied. But they also don't want to get bullied.
They also get bullied.
That is true. Yeah, yeah. You know, but it still doesn't, you know, it still doesn't take away from, detract from the fact that you
that
could have
happening.
Said something.
Absolutely.
Somebody could have interfered, you know, and that's the chain reaction would have been, if I say something, somebody else would probably have said something too, because they saw it, because, but we're scared to work individually, because we don't know who's going to have our backs.
Yeah. And
ultimately, that's not what we should do. We should say
that's a one lesson
working.
That I learned through my entire career, is the fact that sometimes you need to open your mouth. And, you know, I'm the type of person, or I've become the type of person, where I don't mind to get shot. You know, I don't mind if people get upset with me if I say the harsh truth, because sometimes the truth needs to be said. And the same when I do an anti-bullying project. Once you get to a level of where you're so intuitive, where you can read people. I mean, you can read body language, you can read facial expressions, you can just, you know, by walking past these people and these kids, you can feel their aura, you can feel their energies, you know, and that's where the parallax effects comes in, because everything is connected. And once you start grasping that, it becomes so much easier to be able to feel other people's energies, to connect with other people's energies. And even with anti-bullying, you can just walk through a crowd and see who is the bully and who is the person being bullied. The same with people being abused. Once you start connecting with people and connecting with the energies, it becomes easier to see where you should get involved and where you shouldn't. But, you know, it still asks the question, is it right to just get involved?
Look, I'm not saying don't get involved in other people's lives. Don't care. Don't love. But people ultimately need to take responsibility for their mm-hmm. own business.
That's also true.
And if I offer help and it's being declined, uh-huh. then it's not my problem. I don't get offended because it's not my business. Mm. But what I want to ask you, Emmanuel, is, isn't it that bullies are very often victims of bullying themselves?
Oh, big time, big time. From the research that I've done, and I'm not talking about just going onto Google and doing research or seeing what other people write about it, from my own personal research that I did, because whenever I go to a school, afterwards, I do a write-up for myself. I've got a diary that I keep, a beautiful little orange diary that I got. And I write in this diary, you know, my experience, what I've learned from there. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that probably 90% of the bullies that I've worked with have issues at home. Biggest issue normally is financial strain at home. On the flip side, the other biggest issue is that there's too much money at home, where the parents don't spend time with their kids, and they just, you know, there's money, go sort yourself out. They're not getting love. And what happens is they go to school, and either you become very lovable at school, where you've got a lot of friends because that's what you're yearning, or on the flip side, you become a bully because that's how you let go of your emotions. Mm. And I think the same with any relationship as well. If you're in a relationship and you're not getting love from your partner, what do you normally do? You know, you either go cheat or you go and, into a state of depression, or you go into not loving yourself or hating the other person, where ultimately it's, you know, coming from the other side. It's not really your issue. It comes from that side. But what happens is life manipulates you to a certain extent where you think it's your fault. You mm-hmm. think I'm being abused at home, or my husband, my wife, whoever's cheating on me because of what I did. You know what Liesl said? Mm-hmm. Three types of business. But there's so many different layers. It's very interesting, actually.
Yeah. So, interesting you were saying life manipulates you. So, I want to say that because of not enough knowledge or self-awareness, we get sucked into thinking that life's manipulating us, you know. Mm. Whereas if we knew something, you know, we would have the ability to go and say, oh, actually, and it's a constant thing. You have to constantly become aware of it because, you know, it's how we were brought up.
Absolutely.
We were brought up, like Liesl says, take responsibility. We were brought up to blame it on somebody else. Somebody else is making your day.
It's so much easier, you know.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, if you connect with the universe, if you realize that everything is connected, you know, here's an analogy. You know, my mom, people would think she's bat crazy, but she talks to her plants. Yet she has the most beautiful plants. You
Oxygen.
Know. And why? Because they are connected.
Energy.
It's a proven fact that plants respond to the sound of a person's voice.
Mm-hmm. It's and to classical music.
Yeah, it's
and
to like, do with the vibration.
Yes, like water, that water thing.
Yes, the
exactly.
water experiment.
Exactly.
But before we go, we don't have much time. I still want to ask you about your animals. You also work with animals.
I do.
So what do you do with them?
Well, you know what? I'm lucky in the regards with the fact that I got raised with animals. We always had animals. My dad was a farrier in the police when we were very young. So we've always been involved with horses. Now, that's where my passion with working with animals and you know, ultimately almost talking to animals started.
Almost. You're also almost. You need to talk.
It's because he's censoring himself now.
I'm censoring myself, you know.
What
happens is the fact that you connect with animals on a completely different level. And anyone can do it. Once you start realizing that the smallest animal is equal to you. Now, we get taught at school the whole food chain, you know. So I'm not talking about the food chain. I understand we eat animals. I understand we eat plants. I understand all this. The lion eats the little springbokkie in the field. I get that. Mm-hmm. But I can promise you now, the lion realizes that the bokkie is an equal human being to what the lion is.
Yeah, but human in there.
But being, you understand what I'm saying? Mm. And ultimately, you know, once you start realizing that, it becomes so easy to connect with animals. Why does your dog wee on the same spot the whole time? Now, some people would say, yeah, but his smell is there already, so that's now his toilet. I disagree. If you start realizing that the dog wees exactly where you walk every single morning, you will start to realize, but he's looking for attention. Why does your dog eat the ceiling when you're not at home? There's a reason. You know, you guys had a guest a couple of...
Don't mention names.
No. I'm not going to mention names. But that had this issue. I mean, she rescued a dog. And she couldn't leave the dog at home because... And I know she wouldn't mind. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she didn't want to leave the dog at home because this dog destroys everything.
Mm.
And, you know, coincidentally, I was here, so I looked after the dog.
They're going to say the dog is naughty. It's like, you know, the naughty, kid is
but,
naughty.
But no, if you go look at the history of the dog doesn't know where it belongs. The dog doesn't know what it can do and cannot do.
So it destroys.
And now what happens in this situation is this woman loves this dog unconditionally. But now the dog's getting a lot of attention where the dog did not have attention. So the dog doesn't know what to do with
the
attention.
Panics when the person is gone.
I've got one of those dogs. You know, I think my animals are the only animals that aren't behaved. They don't listen to me. Mm. You know, where I can walk into my sister's house and her dogs love me. Mm. You know, for the simple reason that you know, sometimes I feel that I don't give enough attention to my animals because I'm too busy with other stuff, you know?
Can I just ask a nutty question? I don't know. Well, maybe, you know. But anyway, I'm going to ask it.
Do it.
So, you were talking about the bokkie and the lion. You know, the lion, you saying that it looks at it as an equal being. Do you think that bokkie, that lion also goes, bokkie, thank you for your life?
I think... Honestly, I think they do. I really think that even when
thank
a cat...
Thank you for allowing me to catch you.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, that animals in the animal kingdom understand their place. They understand. Every day that I wake up, I might be eaten because that is my purpose. My purpose is that I need to feed something else. You know, and ultimately, I really... would like to believe that you know, the lion would say to the little bokkie, thank you for feeding me today, yeah. You know.
I think, you know, that what you just said, you get up, you realize your purpose because you are here to feed someone else. I think that's our purpose as human beings. We're here to feed someone else. That's why we're able to manifest, so that we're able to give. And I think we're manifesting just for ourselves, but we're actually manifesting so that we can give to others. So anyway.
And by feeding others, you mean serving others?
In every way, yeah.
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
Others,
not giving, not necessarily. We're not talking about cannibalism. No, yeah.
No. You know what? I think a very nice. I think a very nice message to leave this whole conversation with is the fact that people need to realize that there is a purpose for them on Earth, and once they start realizing that. They have a purpose in life and that everything's connected. I promise you, life becomes easier to understand, maybe, you know.
Okay. We have to go.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Emmanuel. So I'm going to just drop this one. Malisa, thank you so much, my papa. And I'm Shemaine Harris. Thank you for being with us.
Emmanuel, thanks so much. From
thanks,
the legal
ladies.
Tom, take care of yourself.
This is CliffCentral.com.